Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, I want to play you a couple of seconds from last night's installment of the ever more bizarre Stormy Daniels story. It happened on CNN with Anderson Cooper. Michael Avenatti, attorney for Stormy Daniels, the porn star, and David Schwartz, attorney for Michael Cohen, who is President Trump's longtime personal lawyer. Well, the two men traded insults for almost half an hour. Here's a distillation of that, care of the Washington Post.
All right, you're gonna go down in flames on this case. There's no question about it.
Section 8.6 of the agreement specifically required all parties to sign the agreement.
And or...
I didn't interrupt you during your bombastic comments. Please let me finish.
If Michael Cohen is such a stand-up guy,
where is he?
No. Where is this guy? Why won't he come
I hope you have a good malpractice policy. Because when she owes $20 million, she should go after you.
And it goes on and on and on. But there actually are real legal issues underlying the bombast and the back and forth that we're hearing on television over this story. And joining us now to make sense of it is retired federal judge Nancy Gertner. She's senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, it's good to see you.
Good to be here.
Let's not get in an Avenatti-Schwartz type fight, okay? Tell me here. I mean, the basic legal issue right now, I think, is Stormy Daniels is saying that President Trump did not sign the NDA that she says has prevented her from speaking, and so she should be able to speak. What do you think?
Well, you have to look at the language of the document. The language of the document, if it was signed by a representative of Trump, that may well be enough. And the question is whether or not Michael Cohen, acting for a company that he formed moments before the money was paid, is sufficient to bind Donald Trump. It's a very legal, technical question about the language of the agreement and whether or not Trump was an essential signer to it.
Okay.
Now it's.
Does it matter that he was listed under an alias in the NDA?
It really doesn't matter whether it's listed as an alias. I mean, the question really is whether the language of the agreement says. And it's very hard to figure out the language of the agreement from the back and forth of these lawyers. I mean, on the one hand, there were things that Trump and Trump alone could do, and therefore no one else could bind him to do it, which suggested then that he needed to sign it. On the other hand, if it was just, you don't tell your story, Stormy, then that may be a different matter. But there was a non-disparagement, which was personal to Trump, and there were other terms of the agreement. So it's a legal and technical argument as to what the language of the agreement was.
Yeah, but of course, this legal and technical argument has to do with the President of the United States and an affair that a porn star said she had with him.
Well, but that's...
And who was paid $130,000 to not talk about.
Right, but let's sort of go up a little 20,000 feet. On the one hand, it matters what the truth of the legal issues are. But from the Clinton administration, Paula Jones case, if the Stormy Daniels case survives a motion to dismiss, if it remains in play, the president can be deposed. That is to say, they can take the president's deposition.
Uh-huh.
So there's an issue of, would a judge dismiss this on the grounds that, in fact, the president hadn't signed it? Would the judge believe that the language of the agreement requires testimony? Sometimes an agreement is not so clear and its intention has to require other people to testify. And if that's so, then there would be depositions of the president, which the Paula Jones case made appropriate.
So we have a precedent here for the deposing of a president. Okay, I got it.
Better way to put it is to take the deposition of, not deposing of the president.
Okay.
Under these circumstances.
Oh,
okay.
Good point.
Right, that's right.
Thank you for the semantic clarification.
Right,
and in fact,
in one of the three cases, there's an interesting question. If I were a betting person, would one of the three cases, that is to say Stormy Daniels or the woman whose last name is McDougal, who was paid by
the National Enquirer
to not tell her story, or whether or not Summer Zervos, who's the woman who claimed that she was sexually assaulted by Trump, if any of these cases make it to the next stage, which is to say survive a motion to dismiss Sumner Servoz already has survived a motion to dismiss, which means the case can proceed.
Yeah.
The case proceeding means that the plaintiff moves to take the deposition of the President of the United States, and the Paula Jones case is the precedent for that being allowed.
Okay, so let me just ask you a quick question about the Karen McDougal case, just for folks who have been successfully avoiding the more salacious side of the current administration.
Are you going to talk dirty on public
radio? No, this is a family show, and okay. I'm only presenting the facts here. Karen McDougal is a former Playboy model who claims that she met the president or met Trump at the Playboy Mansion before he was president and had an affair with him in 2006 and 2007. Now, the National Enquirer had her sign a non-disclosure agreement, and she's suing the owner of the Enquirer to get out of that because she said she was duped into the agreement by the tabloid. She says the Enquirer is trying to protect the president because they had a story from her and they ended up not publishing it. But my question, my legal question for you, Judge Gertner, is, she's claiming that she entered a contract under false pretenses. I mean, is that grounds for nullification?
Actually, again, I need to see the contract, and that hasn't been easy to obtain. But she actually has a more substantial claim. She says there are representations that were made to her in signing this contract, and the representations were false. Representations made to her about that essentially this would be a story, that they were paying for her story, and the representations turned out to be false. Now, if it didn't happen because they just didn't have space for it, it would be one thing. But if it were false because at the time she signed it, National Enquirer knew it would never never play this story, never use this story. Then there's a misrepresentation at the time she signed it. She also makes an accusation that the lawyer who was representing her was in touch, was colluding with the National Enquirer, and that in addition that the lawyer that was representing her, after she told her story to the National Enquirer in exchange for the money, that the lawyer then sent that story to Trump. So she has two kinds of things. She has two kinds of issues here. One was that the National Enquirer and the company that publishes it misrepresented to her about the nature of the agreement. Yep. And the second is that her lawyer was, in fact, working for the defendants in that case rather than working in for her benefit. Yeah. She may have an easier claim to undo than Stormy Daniels. Right.
Wow.
But the Stormy Daniels claim depends upon the language of the agreement, which I haven't seen.
Well, I have to say, regardless of the fiery television that's coming up around these stories, there are real legal questions here at play and a lot at stake. So retired federal judge Nancy Gertner and WBR's legal analyst, thank you so much for lending some gravitas to this moment. It's much appreciated.
Thank you.